Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and I've not turned my backlight on. I'll do that in a minute, but I tell you what, I'm so excited because we've actually got some positive news on the show this morning. We're talking a huge budget for Michael Carrick. We're talking Lewis Hall. We're talking Cunha not playing for Man United again this season. We're talking Champions League and what that means for the midfielders. We're talking what Nicky Butters had to say. We're talking Sir Jim Radcliffe scouting players. There is so much to go through because yesterday I did the morning show and I didn't do the evening show. I did a very good evening show. I did a very, very good evening show and it's very, very much worth you checking it out. But what we're starting off with this morning is around the midfield. So £150 million is available for the midfield, according to Chris Wheeler in the Daily Mail. Also, we've got updates coming in from The Athletic and Laurie Whitwell around Anderson, Tchouaméni. There is a bit of a breaking story coming out that we're close to signing Ederson from Atalanta as well. We will delve into this Cunha story, which is apparently we've got an agreement with the Brazil FA that he doesn't have to play for the rest of the season, although Cunha is denying it. And also we've got some stuff around Michael Carrick and the chosen manager that Man United want but probably won't get. So look, positives this morning. Let me just start off with something, though. Actually, I'll stay on the positives. So, look, OK, I was going to start with something that's probably a little bit negative, but we'll start on the positive. We don't always start on the positive. So, this is coming in from Chris Wheeler. United could spend £150 million this summer transfer window on three midfield players. Goes on to say that Anderson is difficult at £100 million and City are the favourites. They're looking at around £80 million to replace Casemiro, with people like Belaba and Wharton mentioned. £40 million for someone to replace Ugarte, like Fernandez from West Ham. And then £20 million for a squad player. So what are your thoughts about that? I mean, £150 million, you bring in an £80 million replacement for Casemiro, a £40 million replacement for Ugarte, and a £20 million for a squad player. Do you like those apples? Do you like those apples? Because the issue with that straight away is that you probably don't get Anderson. You've probably done the maths. Anderson's a £100 million player. And if United are putting it out there at £150 million, there's two ways of looking at this, actually. There's two ways of looking at this, but basically, Chris Wheeler in the Mail, who's saying £150 million on midfielders, but Laurie Whitwell also saying Nottingham Forest have set a very high price for Anderson. We're talking over £100 million. I've heard a figure of 125. That's way too much for Man United, but Man City feels like it's going to be the direction of travel. I think that... £150 million for three midfielders, if I'm being completely honest. Neil, one of our members, says those apples are rotten. And Mummy Boy says spin. I think there's two ways of looking at this. One way, it's a positive. It puts a line in the sand that there's £150 million to go and get three midfielders. On that £150 million, I think many of us would look at it and go, that's not enough. You know, it's not enough. And you can go, oh, it's not enough. It's the club again, idiots, la, la, la. But in fairness, if you put £150 million out there for three midfielders, you could also interpret it, well, what if it's £200 million? You wouldn't tell everyone it's £200 million. What if £150 million is a little bit more? What if there's a bit of leeway there? What if £80 million signing is £100 million signing? What if the £40 million signing is 60, and what if the 20 million squad player is 40? Well, suddenly you've bought a 40, a 60, and a 100, and you've spent £200 million instead of 150. And that's sort of where, and it might surprise some of you, that's sort of where I'm going to hold judgment and not start moaning about it's not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough. Because actually, I look at it and I go, well, there might be some leeway there. We weren't going to pay any more than 55 for Mbeumo, and we spent 65 on him as well. So there might be some leeway in there because ultimately, in a negotiation tactic, if you're going to go and buy a house for £100,000, and good luck with that in today's market, You might say, I've only got 75, but you know you've got another 100 there. So it could be, look, I'm probably doing the club a favour by saying it might be quite clever to say 150 million on midfielders, because it makes other clubs think, well, Man United have got a budget that they're working to. But if that budget's slightly higher, it only needs to be 50 million higher and you get a 100 million pound midfielder, a 60 million pound midfielder and a 40 million pound. So it's, you know what I mean? 150 million pounds, I can't work with that and get three midfielders, if I'm being honest. But give me another 50 and I can. I think we need a 200 million pound spend on the midfield is what I'm saying. And I wouldn't rule out that we can't go from 100 to 200. 150 won't be enough. You won't get Anderson. You won't. And if you do, that's 100 gone and you won't get two with 50. So the budget's wrong. 80 million pounds. Was it 80 million pounds, 40 million pounds or 50 million pounds and 20? You're not going to get good enough players for that. So it could be positioning, like Martin says. But I think what I would say is it's not a bad start. It's not a bad start that there's a story out there that United are looking to invest £150 million in their midfield. What I would say to Jason Wilcox or Omar Berada or Sir Jim Radcliffe is it's not enough. You're going to waste. You know, sometimes you spend a little bit more to get better. You know, you might have a red wine, bottle of red wine for £8. And it's not great. But a £12 bottle of red wine tastes nice. That, you know, what's the difference between £8 and £12? £4. But it's worth the extra £4, and it's not a huge leap. So I would be saying to the board, look, £150 million, whoever set that is an idiot. You need to be at 200, because what you'll buy for 150, you might waste it. You know, £80 million on Belaba, you've wasted it, in my opinion. £40 million on João Gomes and £20 million on God knows what. You've just wasted £150 million. Give me 200, I'll make that 200 million work. That 200 million is going to be worth more in 2 years than your 150 million that's going to flop. So sometimes you've got to spend a little bit more. It's like you might give somebody a wage of 150 grand a week, but you might give someone a wage of 200 grand a week, and the 150 grand a week player's not quite there and they flop, but the 200 grand a week player does, you know? You get that little bit more. And I know it's a different difficult mentality, but United need to get into that mentality. And it's hard when you've got a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet mentality. But look, £150 million is a lot of money and £200 million is a lot more. But the chances of that £150 million being an absolute flop compared to the 200, we will get better players. So you will get Elliot Anderson or Tonali for £100 million. You will then get, you know, Stiller for 50. And then you'll get Scott for 50. You've just got Stiller, Anderson and Scott for £200 million. Whereas for 150, you've just got Belaba, Fernandez and some £20 million player I've never fucking heard of. So, look, I'm quite positive about this. I don't think we're going to spend £150 million on midfielders. I think we could go to £200 million. And if we do, you know, hopefully that leeway is there. Because, you know what, you can do some real damage with a budget between £150 and £200 million. Absolutely. In a good way. And that makes me, you know, and also we're talking about three midfielders here, aren't we? I think it could be a positive. It's all going to come down. It's probably going to be the most exciting thing about this summer. And look, when the season ends, you go into the transfer market, it's a different world. There's no balls being kicked. It's fantasy football. So it's going to be very exciting to rebuild this midfield in our minds and then in reality. And there are many combinations. But if that budget is between 150 and 200 million pounds for the midfield, we have got a very, very big opportunity. And look, as Culture Boy says, Tchouaméni is probably going to cost you 70. You could get Tchouaméni for 70, Fernandez for maybe 40, 110. You've still got 40 million left. Maybe push for Stiller. I mean, would you like? There's so many combinations. I mean, if you're not watching live, list off your top five combinations, because I could go Tonali, Stiller, Scott, number one. I could go Tchouaméni, João Gomes, Garner, number two. I could go Anderson. Who else? I could go Anderson, Wharton. And let's promote Thwaites. You know, there's loads of stuff you could do. Absolutely loads of combinations. And I suppose that's the exciting thing, but it's also the concerning thing, isn't it? Because you could end up with Belaba, João Gomes, and I'm trying to think of a midfielder I really don't want. I don't mind João Gomes, but if it's Belaba, João Gomes, Well, it could just be Belabor and João Gomes, couldn't it, at the end of the day? Tonali, Fernandez and Scott for me, says DJ. Tyrus has gifted 5 memberships. You're an absolute legend, sir. Danny says Scott, Stiller and Anderson from Atalanta, or replace one with Fernandez. Edison, Danny, yeah. Shaz says, good morning, Mark. Why do you think people don't like Xerxes or Carrick use him anymore? People seem to forget that he was a decent player for us last year. I mean, you've sort of killed the conversation there, but it was the first super chat. But he's clearly not good enough. He wasn't good enough to start for Ten Hag. He wasn't good enough to start for Amorim, and he wasn't good enough to start for Carrick. So ultimately, he's just not good enough, is he? I think there's a talented player there, but 3 different managers, I'd trust them. They see him training every day. And when you're not coming on at half-time, when you're taking an injured striker off, ultimately, I've got to trust that he's not good enough, especially Carrick. You know, Carrick doesn't use him. He's put Mbeumo up front, who's not good enough up front. So I'd just say he's not good enough. 150 million, thank you very much, Martin. Okay, I've got quite a bit to get into the show today. First and foremost as well, when we talk about Carrick, the manager Man United want. We will talk about that in a moment. Let me just do this Lewis Hall thing. So a few people messaged me yesterday. Obviously, I did the morning show. What a day to miss as well. I've got to do a video on That's Football. What a day. I mean, God, some of the results. But on United, there was a story that came out about Lewis Hall yesterday. Number one, the source isn't proven. I don't know why people just make up information. I don't know why. I think it's, you know, if you're going to put information out there and you've got no background as a source, then you really need to make sure that you're correct. So Lewis Hall to Manchester United rumours, they're not true. I would love Lewis Hall to come to Manchester United, but they're not true. And we need to just revisit this. Ben Jacobs was on the show a couple of months ago, asked about Lewis Hall. It's not true because it got put out there 2 months ago, probably from the same type of source. It's come out again. Lewis Hall is not on Manchester United's agenda. Newcastle are actually trying to get him to sign a new contract. Why he's on the bench at the moment, I don't know. Maybe that's positioning to get him to sign a new contract. I don't know. But he's only been at Newcastle for a year. Newcastle are going to sell people like Anthony Gordon and Tonali. They're not going to sell Lewis Hall. If they were going to sell Lewis Hall, they'd want 50, 60, 70 million pounds. Not my words, the words of good sources from Newcastle. And he's not for sale. So we're not going in for Lewis Hall. And we financially don't have the money to go in for Lewis Hall, because if we're going to spend 150 million, 200 million pounds on midfielders, which we need to, we're not going to go and spend 50 million pounds on a left back. So Lewis Hall is not there. And look, there's enough to be excited about this summer transfer window without getting excited about stuff that's going to frustrate you in a couple of months when it doesn't happen. So Lewis Hall is not on the agenda for Manchester United. Now, look, in 2 months' time, things might change, but I don't think they will. I think he'll sign a new contract at Newcastle. He will stay at Newcastle, and maybe in a couple of years he'll move on because he's still very, very young. But yeah, I like Lewis Hall. It actually does remind me a little bit of a younger Luke Shaw. But there will be reality and there will be fantasy, and Lewis Hall is in the fantasy category. And United aren't even entertaining that they're looking at Lewis Hall. Ben Pitt says, what if 150 million is meant for 2 midfielders instead of 3? I mean, look, you could spend 150 million pounds on 2 midfielders. Of course you could. You could spend 70 million pounds on Belabor, and you could spend 80 million pounds on Wharton. But I don't think that, I think United need to bring 3 in, don't they? Now, interestingly, this morning, came in from Matty Maletto, who works with Fabrizio, and has been quite at the forefront of this Edison story, basically says that Manchester United have moved ahead of Atletico Madrid for Edison at Atalanta. Now, the Telegraph have also reported last night that Fernandez of West Ham is definitely a player of interest for Manchester United. So what we're doing, what we need to do is we need to pitch in. You know, look at the shelves behind me. You've got Duncan Edwards there. You've got Eric Cantona there. And you've got the Sports Journalism Award we won there, right? So Duncan Edwards is our A-star top-of-the-mill midfielder, right? Cantona is our middle midfielder, and the awards is the third midfielder, right? So I'm putting Edison here with Cantona, the middle of the road. Ideally, he's here. If he's coming in as the third midfielder, even better. Because if you're bringing in a player of the quality of Edison as the third midfielder, what's the quality of the second and first midfielder? So Edison, for me, can't be the number one. He can't be the top-shelf midfielder. He can be the number 2 or the number 3. So, and the same with Fernandez at West Ham. I like both of these stories. You know, I actually feel quite excited this morning because I don't mind Ederson. I always liked Ederson. I think he is a really combative all-round midfielder that, you know, maybe he's got that Brazilian attitude that we need in the midfield that Martinez and Casemiro has. I know Martinez is Argentinian. South American, you know. So I don't mind Ederson at Man United. And he's experienced. He's in his mid-20s. So I don't mind Ederson at Man United for 40 million quid on 75 grand a week, which is what's being rumoured. So I don't mind that. I also don't mind Fernandes from West Ham. Again, around 40 million pounds if they get relegated, probably on 100 grand a week or less. I don't mind those two players. But as Gabriel says, one of our mods, to replace Casemiro, we need world class. I am not replacing Casemiro with Ederson or Fernandes. And we need to get into that mentality here when we're having a conversation because, you know what, morons out there, and we all know who they are, don't have this type of conversation. There are tiers to this game. There is tier one, replacing Casemiro. There is tier two, who competes with the replacement for Casemiro and Mainoo. And there is tier three, who is, you know, probably going to be a bench player, but might compete as well. As I said, if we could buy Tonali, Stiller and João Gomes, I'd be over the bloody moon. That's the perfect tier one, tier two, tier three player. So Ederson and Fernandes, welcome to the club. Much happier with them than I am with Baleba. But probably in at two for me. And ultimately as well, you do have to move quickly. Like, we can't wait. We have to move quickly, don't we? We do have to move because if we're slow, then we will leave ourselves with way too much to do. We've got to get three midfielders in and other positions in. So you've got to move fast. You've got to move on players very, very quickly. And people like Fernandes, Ederson. Ederson nearly joined Atletico Madrid in the summer. In January. So maybe that's a deal that you can do quite quickly. What caught my eye this morning, and if you watched the video last night, you might have a little laugh at this. It was Laurie Whitwell on the Athletic podcast. And basically, it's on the at Simply United account on X. Manchester United are looking to build a midfield that complements Mainoo, which is why Baleba remains a possible option despite a dip in form. The club is still monitoring him and believe his skill set could fit well, making him a genuine possibility. Whether they follow through with the move, however, remains to be seen. And look, I am not going to take the piss out of Laurie Whitwell or anybody else that thinks Baleba's profile matches that of Mainoo. But if you watched the video last night where we actually did some research, he doesn't complement Mainoo at all. If anything, he's like Mainoo. Because, and I think Mainoo's better. But this myth that Baleba can basically... If you're complementing Mainoo, you're basically taking Casemiro's job. This myth that Baleba can take Casemiro's role... He passes the ball about 30 times a game compared to 45 from Casemiro. He doesn't pass the ball forward. He doesn't carry the ball. His defensive actions are no better than somebody like Wharton or Tonali. He's not a defensive monster like Casemiro either. He just factually isn't the player that I think they think it. I think people who want us to buy Baleba, maybe Laurie Whitwell's the same, or maybe he's just being fed the information, maybe Man United. I think they think Baleba is like Declan Rice or Caicedo. I think they think he's that type of player. He's not. He's more of a Mainoo. You know, he doesn't pass the ball as much as Mainoo. But he's more of a box to box midfielder than a holding midfielder. He just doesn't do that job. So it's complete. Watch the video from last night because it goes into detail. But there's a misprofiling of Belaiba to think that he can replace Casemiro. And if Man United think he can replace Casemiro, well, I'm sorry, Data Dean needs sacking because they're miles off with that. Absolutely miles off. Patrick Lynch with a super chat says there are a lot of decent centre midfielders out there. The consideration is how much these players raise our floor or ceiling. It's not just about competing in the Premier League now. Champions League ready players are needed. Yeah, and you know what? When you look at someone like Scott at Bournemouth and people say, well, what does it matter with passing? The possession stats for Man United this season, especially since Carrick come in, are shit. So I wouldn't get rid of Casemiro, who's doing 45 passes per game and half of them are forward passes, for Belaiba, who's doing 30 passes a game and, you know, less than 10 of them are forward passes. What's going to happen to possession? It's going to go down through the floor. But someone like Scott at Bournemouth, he gets the ball and passes it forward a lot. Someone like Elliot Anderson, he gets the ball and passes the ball forward a lot. So, you know, I always think the eye test is important, but you can look at stats like that across a season and go, do I replace Casemiro with a 45 pass per game average for a 33 pass per game Belaiba or a 50 pass per game Scott or Anderson? You know, what's going to happen? You know, you've got to look at that sort of stuff. Daniel Thompson's in the chat. He says, hi, Mark. Hope you're well. I think we need more than 150 million on midfield. Tonali, 40 million on Stiller. Then we need more. £20 million players won't help us. We need quality. Scott, Garner, Fernandez. Well, who would you even get for £20 million, Daniel? I mean, I was even thinking about, is it Hayden Hackney? You know, is it a Carrick Borough job? You know, he's going to get Hackney, he's going to get Rodgers, because the Telegraph again yesterday said that we're looking at Fernandez, but we're also looking at Morgan Rodgers. He's seen as someone who can play on the left but be a long-term replacement for Bruno. I think that would be catastrophic. You do need to replace Bruno, right? But do you need to bring somebody in to replace Bruno? It's like having it's like having David De Gea, but bringing in, I don't know, David Raya.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
3 years before De Gea is going to go. It just doesn't work. You're better off bringing David Raya in the summer De Gea goes. And I don't think we need to be looking to spend £90 million on Rodgers as a long-term replacement for Bruno, who, all right, he might only do one more year, but he might do another three. Mark, wasn't the plan no matter what Carrick does, they won't fall for the Solskjaer trap again? What happened now? Genuine question. I will talk about that. I will talk about the manager. I want nothing to do with Belaiba, says Z3 Music Official. It screams Sancho, overpriced, lacks the mentality. He brings nothing but drama and a headache. Thank you very much, Z3. Cunha set to be spared for the rest of the season, says Christoph. And we will talk about that. What if, I've done that from Ben Pitt, won't do out till August, then end up keeping 100 million, says Stu. Scott Stiller, I've done that from Danny. Okay, let me just quickly talk about this one. So ESPN Brazil came out with a very interesting story last night that Manchester United will not use Cunha for the rest of the season because they have an agreement with the Brazil FA to let him rest and recover ahead of the World Cup. Now, doing a bit of digging on this, it's not completely without information, right? Now, Cunha has come out on Instagram and said, what? With a big question mark, which suggests it's not completely true. However, speaking to a couple of people last night who are close to the whole thing, they have said, look, Cunha has been carrying an injury. He did get himself back for the Liverpool game because he wanted to play it and he was fit. But he isn't necessarily in the green zone of fully fit, you know, 100% on everything. So there is a World Cup to come. And there probably is conversations going on between Cunha and Brazil and Man United about preparation for the World Cup and managing what he's got. What I was told is that there might, whatever Cunha's issue is, he might be carrying something. And most players are always carrying something, whether it's a sore calf or a, you know, a sore ankle or whatever like that. So there might be some sort of like, you know, Man United are in the Champions League now. Does Cunha need to play 90 minutes every game for the next three games?
I don't think he's not going to play any of the games. What I think might happen is he's managed over the next three games. So he might play an hour here, 70 minutes here, half a game there, which is absolutely fine anyway, because then you can give Dorgu minutes, who's not going to the World Cup. You might give Lacey some minutes as well. You've got people like Mason Mount. So I think what we'll see with Cunha is it's managed. I don't think it's going to be anything as controversial or blunt as he's not playing for Man United for the rest of the season because he's preparing for Brazil. That wouldn't wash anyway. I'm sorry. I don't care whether you're Lisandro Martinez in Argentina or Luke Shaw in England. Man United's bigger than any country to me. You might not agree with that. The players might not agree with that. But we pay you wages. We're Manchester United. And I couldn't give a shit if you're playing in the World Cup next month. I'll watch you and hope you do well. But I don't agree with you having a month off to prepare for the World Cup. We're Manchester United. And you set a very dangerous standard there, because it might work at this moment. But what if it doesn't work for us? Oh, he did it for me before. So we can't do that. But we can manage his minutes. And I think that's what will probably happen. JMR says Belaba's still very young. He's a prospect with a load of talent that needs nurturing and developing. We need ready to go players, says JMR. Yeah, you know what? It's not even that anymore. I think everybody needs to watch the video from last night. I'm fed up of players being misprofiled. You know, there's too many people out there. And you remember Sam from the United Stand, Sam C. He was down at Baller League last night, and we were having a big chat about Carrick. And he's a bit like me on Carrick. He's like, you know, if he gets the job, we back him, but I think we're following the Ollie mistake. And I said, you know what the problem is with this fan base, certain elements of the fan base? They're just ridiculously, trust me, bro, they're vibes. Like, stop picking on Belaba, it'd be a great signing, because they think Belaba's going to be a great signing. And it's not picking on Belaba. Look at his performances this season. But more importantly, even if he was playing well, look at his profile of his player. He's not a holding midfielder. He's not a holding midfielder who takes the ball off the back four and conducts the game. He's more like Kameinu. He's more of a, you know, drifter from back to forth. So he's not even the right type of player for us. That's the problem with Belaba. I understand we need three, but it has been put out there before that United would sign two, says Ben. Well, we definitely do need to sign three. Please do keep sharing the video. We're heading up towards 8,000, which is fantastic for a morning show. Make sure you subscribe, bottom right-hand corner as well, if you are new. Right, is there a little bit more on the midfield before I move on to the next thing? One thing I would say is, and obviously we should still be riding the wave of the Champions League, is that United being in the Champions League, as much as I think for many of us, we expected it to happen. Man United being in the Champions League does, we mustn't again ignore the positive of, if we weren't in the Champions League, then we wouldn't have, we wouldn't be able to get Elliot Anderson or Tchouaméni. We wouldn't be able to get those players, or Tonali. So whether we get them or not, that's on the, in a way, I sort of like go, you look at last season, and because we weren't in the Champions League, it, you know, we probably wouldn't have got Gyökeres or Osimhen or anybody anyway. But we knew that that was a hindrance going into the transfer market. This summer, a positive, and we can control this, is that we're in the Champions League. So every player we speak to, United can't use the excuse of, oh, well, it's because we're not in the Champions League. We're in the Champions League. Man United next season, oh, yes. Man United next season are going to be playing midweek games in the elite tournament in world football. Midweek next season, from September to January. Look at the smile on my face. We will be playing 8 games in the elite tournament. Tuesday and Wednesday. None of this Thursday night bollocks. Tuesday and Wednesday night for 8 weeks next season, we will be playing in the Champions League. And that gives me goosebumps. I'm sorry, it's sad at my age, but it does. But what it also does is it means that you can go to Tchouaméni, if Real Madrid want to sell him, and say, look, we really, really want you, and we're in the Champions League. We can go to Elliot Anderson and say, look, you might want to go to Man City, but we're in the Champions League. And you can go to Tonali and say, look, we know you're leaving Newcastle. We know you want to play in the Premier League. Maybe Arsenal do want you, but where are you going to play at Arsenal? Because they've got Declan Rice and Zubimendi. We're in the Champions League. You're a starter. So there's two things there. Champions League football, and you start for us. Not many clubs can do that, you know. Not many clubs can say to any of the midfielders this summer, we're in the Champions League and you're a starter. We're building the midfield around you. You are going to come to Manchester United in the Champions League and we're building the midfield around you. Yes, we've got Mainoo, but Mainoo, Casemiro is gone. You're the guy that's going to come in and be that guy. So look, what I'm saying is that's positive. That's fact. We're going to put you straight into our midfield. You're going to be the focal point. You're going to be the star of our midfield in the Champions League at Man United in the Theatre of Dreams in front of 75,000 fans with a huge fan base that's going to be, you know, all over you from day one. The negative is there's only two people who can fuck that up, and that's Jason Wilcox and Omar Berada. I think United's midfield this summer is like, you know, if I'm an artist, yeah, and I've got my paintbrush, yeah, this is my canvas, right? Here's my paint, here my paintbrush. I can paint whatever I like, you know, I can paint whatever I want to paint, yeah? It might be Picasso, Van Gogh, Banksy, it might be a load of shit. So United have this opportunity in the midfield, and I'm sure there are multiple. I'm going to do my top five midfield combinations and put it in the comments when the video's finished, because, you know, there are so many three midfield combinations you can buy for 150 to 200, and I'll put the price next to all of them as well. But, and it changes all the time, but there are so many options in there. There are so many options, definitely. And it's exciting. Look, we don't get a lot to be excited around about Man United, but we've been doing transfer window for over a decade. I love the transfer window. We're the original goats when it comes to the transfer window. I remember that other channel, Full Time Devils, when we started out, I used to get on with the guy who ran it, and he was like, messaged me at the end of May and said, see you next season. And I was like, well, we're not stopping. We're doing transfer stuff. And no one really used to do it across the summer. That was it. People would wait till August. I was like, fucking hell, time to go to work. Lozano to Man United. Ooh, rumours of this. So look, it's going to be exciting. I love the transfer window. I just can't promise you whether it'll be an exciting outcome, but there's lots of opportunity there. And it's down to the club to fuck it up. You know, I think we're starting, now that we've got Champions League football, we're moving into an exciting period where nobody can prove it's not exciting. You know, from now until the end of August, optimism, fantasy, excitement reigns, because until the window closes on August the 31st, your dreams are still a dream. You wake up on September the 1st with the reality. Dare to dream. But unfortunately, I do agree, when was the last time we had a decent transfer summer? We've bought decent players, but we haven't overall had a good window. And I think we might buy one or two good players like we did last year, Cunha and Mbeumo and Sesko and even Lemons. But did we buy the midfield? No, we didn't. And that probably made it a 5 out of 10 for me. This summer, we've got to buy three midfielders. They've got to be the right midfielders. And we need to supplement that with at least one fullback and one forward. And if they do that well, then we could end up with a 7, even an 8 out of 10 window. And I think we need to deliver that for whoever the manager's going to be, especially if it's Michael Carrick. But look, the exciting thing is there's loads of opportunities in this summer transfer window. And the great thing is this is on Wilcox. You know, it's on Wilcox and Berada, because I think you've had a shit season, lads. I think it's despite you that we're in the Champions League. You know, you didn't do anything in the January transfer window. You sacked a manager and have just basically given it to an interim. So it's time to go to fucking work. And the accountability will be with them. And I'm more than happy to, you know, see what they do and put the pressure on them, because that's their job. JMR says, I'm so excited to be back in the Champions League, but we need to bolster our player depth if we want to go far in the competition. You know what? Being back in the Champions League is the thing that makes me the happiest the most. And that's, you know, that's how I sort of feel. So I'm just excited about it. And you know what? I can be a moaner because I care. I can be negative because I think the club make us negative. It's nowhere near where it should be. But when there's things to be excited about, I'll be right at the front of the queue. Bruno now has 5 yellows. He's suspended the next game. And Ant, it's May the 5th, not bloody November the 5th. You don't get suspended for 5 yellow cards in May. It goes up to 10 at bloody Christmas. Oh, it's the second time I've heard that. Two top names and Wilson on a free. Look at Chido, Lacey, Fletchers and Thwaites to see if they can step up next year. Would you sell Ahmad to fund Kane moves, as Jack? Jack. I'm going to read this again and everyone knows what I'm going to say. So momentous was your super chat, but two top names and Wilson on a free. Look at Obi, Lacey, Fletchers and Thwaites to see if they can step up. Would you sell Ahmad to fund Kane move? Mate, how can you miss so many times in a sentence? Timo Werner. Two top names and Wilson on a free. Promote youth. And sell Ahmad for Kane, mate. Youth should not be part of the plan. Youth is a bonus. From Ryan Giggs to David Beckham, like, they are a bonus. They are not in your team. As I buy 3 midfielders with Mainu and Thwaites or whoever is a bonus. I have my attackers and then Lacey and Gabrielle are a bonus. I don't include them as part of the numbers because that puts pressure on them. As a youth player, you are an extra. You're an extra. EJH says, did you see Troy Deeney? Oh, right, okay, let's talk about the manager. Sounds like you and Ruben back him, but not Carrick. Yeah, no, says, sounds like you and Ruben back him, but... Oh, whoa. This is nice, because we're moving on to Carrick now. But before I come back to that... Okay. I got sent something yesterday, right, about apparently my opinion on Carrick, yeah? And you have opened the gates of hell here, Yatno, because, and I'm going to kick you straight through them, because the reality, I'm not going to kick you through them. You've just awoken the devil, the gold devil, right? Because sounds like you and Ruben back him, but not Carrick. Whoa. I am not having this, right? I heard somebody in the media say this yesterday. There is a Man United fan out there who, you know, is constantly saying that Carrick's only good because of Amrin. Basically me. Didn't even dare use my name. If you're going to hit, you better score. There's too many Timo Werners in the chat today, right? Let's go back to match reactions in December when Ruben Amrin was here. Just go back and watch any match reaction in December when Ruben Amrin was here. Whether it was drawing with Bournemouth. Oh, I remember now, Mark. Gary Neville said, after the 4-4 with Bournemouth, I can put up with that because I was entertained. What did I say? I ain't putting up with that. That's fucking rubbish. 4 goals at home, conceded 4 because we're shit at the back. Absolutely ridiculous. Yet again, we're creating chances, but we can't hold a lead. Just like we did against Spurs, just like we did against Forest. Scoring goals, creating chances, but we can't hold a lead. I'm fucking fed up of it. Over Christmas, I said, I'm at the point now where I'm not hammering him out. I'd give him the season and then I'd let him go. Because I don't want to see more disruption in the season. I want to get to the summer and then, you know, probably let him go. So there's a myth out there. Just go back and watch the videos or trust me and the people in the chat with a brain. But don't listen to the morons outside. They're saying it for a reason. Many times this community has been mislabeled and taken out of context on things that weren't said. I have never said I back Tamarim, I don't back Carrick. I have never said Man United are only playing winning games now because of what Amrin did. My stance is I don't want to give Carrick the job because it reminds me too much of Ollie. It's the same process. It's an interim coach who has got some very good results without particularly good performance or vision. We've done this before. And if next season it all goes wrong, where are we? We're stuck with another inexperienced coaching team who don't know what they're doing, who the bubble has burst, and a board that has to back him. And we lose 2-3 years on it. That's my fear. The results are fantastic. I can understand why people want to give him the job. You can clearly justify giving him the job and say he deserves it, but nobody can calm my fear that we're about to make a massive mistake again. Because beyond the results, what is there? And well, people go, well, the results, exactly. But will those results stay? Will these results continue next season with double the workload? Will these results continue when he gets the job full time? Or is it just an interim manager bounce? I didn't hear the word Amrim in any of that. So stop labelling me as somebody that doesn't like Carrick because Amrim got sacked, because I haven't said that. What under Amrim, it was actually annoying me. If you go back to the match reactions, I wasn't happy. I didn't like the fact that Mainoo wasn't being used. I didn't like Bruno in the midfield. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because it's fucking true. I was actually really harsh on Amrim. I didn't like the fact that Mainoo wasn't playing. I didn't like the fact that Bruno was in the midfield. So I'm not having this. We're not having this conversation because it's bullshit. Bit of rage bait, but it's, you know, I don't mind people saying you don't want Carrick to get the job, but let's label it in the right way. I don't want Carrick to get the job because I think we're making the same mistake as we did with Ollie, and I don't think there's much substance to this. My solution is to play a number six and two number eights in midfield rather than a 10. Fernandes cannot be replaced, so switch up how we play, says Scott. What do you think about Bruno Guimarães, Mateus Fernandes and James Garner as the three potential midfield signings, Mark, says Blake. I'm getting a bit of indigestion here. You know what? I'm going to give you chat of the morning because ultimately, I think chat of the morning or the evening is always somebody that sparks something that you weren't going to mention. And I was having a chat last night. I was going down to London to do Baller League, and I was speaking to somebody on the way down, and we were talking about Szoboszlai at Liverpool. We're talking about the Liverpool-Man United game. And I said, you know what? I thought Liverpool was shit, but one player that stood out was Szoboszlai, right? He's playing in a team with people like McAllister who are fucking rubbish now. And, you know, Van Dijk's not the same player, and there's crap Liverpool players all around him. And I thought Szoboszlai was brilliant. Like, because obviously he scored a good goal, but his mentality was consistently, I want to play football, I want to win. And reminds me of Bruno, not in style, but in relation to, there are certain players out there that it doesn't matter what's happening. You know, for 38 games in the Premier League, he's going to give you 38 performances. They might be a six, they might be a nine, but they're very rarely going to be a five or a four because they want to play football. And they want to put 100% effort in. Szoboszlai's like that for Liverpool, and he's been their best player this year. Bruno's been like that for Man United. Bruno Guimarães is one of those players. Bruno Guimarães is one of those players. And you know what Man United needs? Man United, if they want top four next season, we need as many players that give you a 7 or 8 out of 10, 90% of the season, over a 10 out of 10 player but who only does it 30% of the time. If you look at someone like Rashford, he could be a 10 out of 10 player, but would he do it 50% of the season? You look at someone like Bruno Guimarães, probably not a 10 out of 10 player, probably more of an 8 out of 10 out of player, but he'll do it 70% of the season. It's like having an injured Messi who can only play 10 games a season, or a fully fit Harvey Barnes who can play 100% of the season. You're better off with Harvey Barnes, because he's going to play every week and probably give you a 6 or 7, you know? So I definitely like the idea of Bruno Guimarães. I do. And I do, you know what? We probably should be in the midfield chat, and that's why I liked the comment there. We probably should be as open as possible about the midfield solutions for Manchester United, because why should we as fans adhere to ridiculous parameters that don't help us? For example, well, we can't talk about Ryerson as a wing back who's better than Dalot because he's 28. Or we can't talk about Anthony Robinson at Fulham because he's better than Luke Shaw because he's 28. Or we can't talk about Bruno Guimarães because he's 28 and he's over 26. I think that Bruno Guimarães, funnily enough, is a player that Casemiro has reportedly mentioned there's a replacement for him. I think Bruno Guimarães would be a brilliant signing for Man United, but we won't do it because he's over 28. And also,
forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Also, look at Chelsea. Chelsea have gone down this head coach that gets controlled by the board and under 24 policy, and they're a fucking wreck. And we are tentatively following the Chelsea model of we want a puppet coach and we want a puppet coach and we want, we want players under 24. 26. It won't work. We've got to be more open than that. Would you rather sign a world-class left winger or Kane, says Marge? I mean, I wouldn't refuse Harry Kane. I think Harry Kane would add so much to Manchester United. I'm curious about outgoings, not players out of contract, actually selling players we don't need or who's been here too long, says John. Well, John, you make a good point. Man United won't sell anybody because they can't. They will package up players that are leaving as sales. But, you know, Rasmus' deal was done last summer. Sancho's out of contract. Casemiro's out of contract. Malacia isn't worth anything. We won't actually remove somebody that's... We can't... We're shit at selling. We're a rubbish seller of club. We won't sell a Dalot or a Luke Shaw or a Mason Mount. I'm so excited. I've done that from JMR. Right, let me just talk about this Carrick stuff because we have still got time. And we've got over 8,000 watching. Absolute legends. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, bottom right-hand corner. Thank you very much for tuning in, as always. People getting more excited, you see. The transfer window, 10 o'clock every morning on the United Stands. And 8 o'clock, although I'm actually at 7 o'clock tonight because I'm doing the Champions League for the next three nights, Europa League on Thursday night. So it'll be 7 o'clock, 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock today. Why are people forgetting that Carrick got sacked with Ollie 4 years ago, says Pistol? Don't mention that, mate. Don't mention that. You're not allowed to mention that. Do not mention that. That is not allowed to be mentioned. I mean, I like your Pistol, so I won't block you, but you absolutely cannot mention that Carrick worked with Ollie for 3 years and was, you know, one of his key coaches on the training ground and stood right next to him for 3 years. You can't mention that. What do you think you're doing, Pistol? That's not allowed. You know, when people say, I'm worried about this being like Ollie, the answer is, it was a different person. You can't do that. You absolutely are not allowed to say Carrick worked with Ollie for 4 years. You can't do that. You're not allowed to say he was the assistant coach. You're not allowed to say he worked on the training ground with them for 4 years as well. Not allowed to do it. Even Galva says he didn't. See, it's not true, Pistol. He wasn't there. There's this myth that Carrick worked with Ollie for 3 years and was his assistant coach and ran the training sessions. It's a myth. It's not true. The Carrick Inn Brigade won't have it. It didn't happen. You're not allowed to say Carrick could be like Ollie. You're not allowed to say there's any similarities. Carrick's completely new. He had nothing to do with that. Absolutely not. You're not allowed. I'm sorry, Pistol. I'll let it go this time. But there is no correlation between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer being Man United manager and Michael Carrick. There's nothing. Look, the football might be quite similar to some, but it's just a coincidence. There is nothing there at all. Of course, I'm taking the piss. But it's funny because some people do not want to acknowledge it at all. They don't want to acknowledge it at all. They will not acknowledge that Michael Carrick worked with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for 3 years as his assistant coach and one of the key men on the training tactics as well. He also worked with Jose. You know, like Jose Mourinho was really good and we finished second with Rui Faria. If you love Carrick, don't listen to this, right? So Jose Mourinho did really well at Man United for 2 years. First year, won the Europa League and the Carabao Cup. Second year, finished second. In that summer, his assistant coach, Rui Faria, left, and Michael Carrick became his assistant coach. Within 3 months, Mourinho had been sacked and had lost the dressing room. That's not Carrick's fault. I'm just saying Carrick was there. But you're not allowed to talk about that because he went to Middlesbrough, did well, and, you know, it's nothing to do with that. I am being very sarcastic here, but what I'm also explaining is my concerns. I do have concerns, and I think they are valid in my head. Also, that wasn't Michael Carrick. That was Carricky. I mean, God, if you don't agree with it, can't you remember? Carricky. I mean, that was literally what we used to do that under Ollie. It definitely did happen. Where did the Carricky thing come from if it wasn't him? Scott, thank you very much for that. Rajaf says, if 150 million is the budget, Bruno G, Garner and Fernandez might be the best solution, or get Anderson and Tonali. I personally would also get Scott. I like Scott, Rajaf, and I think he's very similar to Michael Carrick, the player. So I think Scott under Carrick, there is a similarity between Scott at Bournemouth and Michael Carrick, the footballer. And I think that with Carrick in over him, God. Great update, Mark. How about someone like Quinton Timber, says Mark? I mean, I've not heard anything about that. Let me talk to you about the manager situation anyway. So basically, to summarise where we are with Carrick, and Ben Jacobs and a few people put this out yesterday. So effectively with Carrick, Carrick will be interviewed as part of a thorough process. The Champions League qualification won't alter that plan. So on Carrick, it sounds like he is still massively the favourite to get the job, but he will be interviewed as part of a process, and qualifying for the Champions League won't change that. Now, as I said to you yesterday, I don't like the idea of Carrick getting the job. It terrifies me. But I also acknowledge that now we're wasting time. If we were going to run a process, I think it should have been run in April, like it did when we had Ranić as an interim and we interviewed Pochettino and Ten Hag. We should have run that process in April, especially with the World Cup coming up. We could have spoken to some of the international coaches like Nagelsmann, Pochettino, Iriola. We could have spoke to all these coaches. And why are we waiting until the end of the season? So I like the fact that we're going to interview other coaches, because I think that helps Carrick's case, because it gives it integrity when he gets it. But I actually think now everybody knows we're going to give it to Carrick. So running a process is a bit like putting a job out there, but everyone knows who's going to get it. It's a bit of a waste of time, and we can't afford to waste time because we need to be signing players. So I like the fact that we're going to run a process, but I also know the process is flawed because they're going to give it Carrick anyway. And this process should have actually been run in March and April. So that's what the club are saying, is they're still going to run a process and the Champions League qualification won't change that. Apparently players like Cunha, Bruno, Maguire have spoken to Sir Jim Radcliffe and said they want Michael Carrick. Again, I would say to Sir Jim Radcliffe, I don't care whether it's Bruno Fernandes, Premier League Player of the Year, Harry Maguire, one of our best players this year, Cunha, one of our signings of the season. I don't give a shit what you say. I genuinely don't. There was someone in our comments yesterday saying, so you're not going to listen to your players? No, I'm fucking not going to listen to my players. What, the same players that have been up and down like a bloody yo-yo for years? I don't give a shit what the players want. Because what if they want a manager that makes their life easy? How does that help me as an owner? What if they don't want a manager that's going to come in, kick them up the arse and get more out of them? Maybe players want a manager they like, but they don't realise that manager's only getting 80% of their capability. Whereas a manager they don't like might take them up higher. So I don't care what players think. I couldn't give a fuck what players think. I don't know why anybody wants to listen to players. I don't know why journalists write it out there. Oh, my favourite player wants the manager to be that. I don't care. You're a paid employee, do your job. Get on with it, right? Also goes on to say that there isn't really any candidates jumping out now. The club did want Tuchel, but he chose England. So I think that realistically with the manager, I think it's just about why they haven't done it yet and why they're running the process so late in the season. The excitement of the show this morning is actually signing players. The excitement of the show this morning is actually going out and buying and working on our transfer window. It's going to be a short transfer window because of the World Cup. The World Cup starts in nearly a month. And if we're going to be spending that month recruiting a manager, then what are we going to do? So I'd rather we just got on with the manager process today so that we can get on with the transfer process tomorrow. Because if you are approaching players Say I'm Tonali, right? And Man United say we want Tonali, which I don't think they will. And Tonali says, who the manager is? Well, we don't know. Well, is it Carrick? We don't know. We're going to run a process. Well, I ain't signing for you until I know what the process is. So we are slowing down our transfer window now. And that's what worries me. I'm convinced Carrick's going to get the job, so you may as well bloody give it him. But you should have run a process before. Running a process at the end of May is stupid, because why would players sign not knowing who the manager's going to be? They will need to know that. They will need to know that, absolutely. Pistol says, Carrick got sacked at Middlesbrough and everyone wanted him out. He didn't get sacked at Middlesbrough, Pistol. You've done it again. He didn't get sacked at Middlesbrough. He was so good at Middlesbrough that they decided that he was actually better than them and they sacked themselves because he was too good. So I don't know where you're getting this stuff that Middlesbrough sacked him, because actually it was the other way around. Carrick sacked Middlesbrough. Thank you very much for that. What do you think about Tuchel? Well, look, I would take Thomas Tuchel at Man United because he ticks every box for me that I want ticking. I want an experienced coach with a defined style of play, a proven track record, and somebody that's managed in a domestic league and the Champions League. So Tuchel does tick all those boxes, and he's very tactically adaptable. So Man United going for Tuchel, I understand it. Tuchel's up here. He is. He's a top-level coach. So that's where we should have gone. What worries me is that if we wanted Tuchel, why didn't we get him? Because he signed a new contract for England. I mean, how embarrassing is that? I'm sorry. If I'm Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I'm taking that personally. I'm like, how has somebody chosen the England job over Man United? Who fucked that up then? Because that is a disgrace. Choosing England over Man United is embarrassing. But then the next thing is, if you look at Tuchel and he ticks all those boxes, why are we going down here? Why are we going from somebody that has experience, is a world-class manager, has tactical adaptability, style of play, has experience of, you know, managing in domestic leagues and the Champions League? Why are we going from somebody that ticks all the boxes to somebody that hasn't any experience, doesn't have a defined style of play, and has no experience of managing in the Champions League and a domestic league at the same time? I don't know how you can pitch up there and end up down there. Surely if you don't get Tuchel, you go for somebody that's got some of those things. Like, you could go for Nagelsmann, who has experience, style of play, tactical adaptability, and has managed in the domestic league and Champions League football at the same time. I don't know why you go from Tuchel, who ticks everything, down to the next stage and the next stage. It's sort of like we go up there and then we go right the way down here. And that, to me, is the risk. The max 26 rule is detriment to us like Chelsea. They relied on average and young signings and it's cost them European football, and the same will happen if we follow. Players like Bruno Guimaraes is what we're desperate for. Great show. I tell you what, I've absolutely loved the show this morning, Daniel. Absolutely loved it. So thank you, everybody. We are back at 2 o'clock. There is stuff I didn't talk about, which I will pass over to the 2 o'clock show, and I am live with you at 7 o'clock. There was some comments from... Oh, I'll do it. There was a comment from Troy Deeney. Now, look, Troy Deeney is not an ex-Man United player, but I think a few people saw this and liked it. He said, I still don't know what the style of play is under Michael Carrick. Are they an aggressive front football team or are they a low block sit back team? I don't know, because each week they're changing. Their performances have not been great. They've had good performances against Arsenal and City, but they haven't had solid performances. We've seen this before from the club with Solskjaer. He gets everybody up. I think Ollie finished second. Then you give him the job. 18 months later, you sack him because he's not the person to take you forward. What's the difference with Carrick? I don't know, and I don't think anyone does either. It's just somebody's opinion. Give me yours. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. I've thoroughly enjoyed it this morning. Let's hope we're going to get lots more of these over the summer. And I will speak to you on the next one. Apparently, Barcelona's sporting director met with Anthony Gordon's agents yesterday. That's not good for Rashford then, is it? Maybe that's one for 2 o'clock. I'll speak to you all in a bit.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2 hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.